This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining this week are Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everyone.
Justin Davis.
Scoop.
And Ryan McCaffrey is here this week.
Good to be back.
Good to have you back, Ryan. We are, once again, we're going to be looking at some of your previous work for OXM. We have the January 2008 issue to flip through, which has Rainbow Six Vegas 2 on the cover and lots of fun stuff inside.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be because that was man. Like peak Xbox
definitely
at 2008 in history. Yeah. Xbox is gonna be good.
360 was firing it on all cylinders, and it was a really fun time to be working in this industry too. Just because there were so many great games coming out, lots of fun events to go to. That was a really good time.
Those three red lights, remember those?
Those three red lights, of course. We're also going to be talking about what in the heck is going on at Ubisoft. They just can't seem to get a game out the door these days. It's been years now that there's just been sort of all this turmoil happening at Ubisoft, and they're one of the biggest publishers in the world. So I'm very surprised.
For
now. But first, I just wanted to share real quick. Last week I went to Disneyland. My first trip to Disneyland. Took the kids. We went to Galaxy.
What you been riding?
We went to, the rides were riding. Went to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is very cool. And I rode Rise of the Resistance. Ryan, have you been to Galaxy's Edge and ridden Rise of Resistance?
Not only have I had the pleasure, but Damon, when I'm a major Disneyland fan, and when Disneyland reopened, because, you know, it was closed for such a long time during the pandemic, I collected some fellow Disneyland super fan nerds like myself at IGN. And we actually put together a little, we did our collective top 10 list for the California ride. So Disneyland and California Adventure. And on every single ballot, it was unanimous. Rise of the Resistance was ranked number one. It is, in my opinion, Damon, and I want to hear what you thought of it, because in my opinion, it is the greatest ride Disney has ever done, period.
What about those teacups, man? They spin. They play that one song all day.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not like an expert on Disney or Disneyland or anything, but it's definitely the coolest like ride I've ever been on. Easily, it's amazing. You've probably heard that Rise of the Resistance is very cool. Whatever level of cool you have in your mind for what that is, it's better than that.
It's so cool. It's so amazing. And it's awesome.
Go in spoiler free too. Don't let anybody ruin it for you. Like it's best just being experienced if you get the chance.
Of course we are showing a lot of footage here, but I knew nothing of what to expect going into it. Other than that, it was supposed to be good. And I was absolutely blown away. I mean, and this sounds snarky. I don't mean it snarkily. It's the best Star Wars thing that Disney has produced. Like easily. It's great.
Did you, was there any...
Andor is pretty good.
Andor is very good.
Was there any BS with, the new passes, systems, and rides? Like, I know it was a rainy day. So did you get in easily?
We did. It was actually pouring for like the first hour we were there. And I was like, ooh, I don't know about this. But then it stopped.
We gotta avoid the teacups then.
We went with seasoned Disneyland experts who knew exactly where to go, what to do, and we just followed them around the whole time.
I want to ask you off air, Damon, because it's a spoiler thing, which ending you got. So we'll talk about that after we're done.
Interesting, because I know there's the other one, the Millennium Falcon ride that has, you can like, there's a couple different
roles and stuff, right?
Yeah, that one, we rode that one first, and I was like, wow, that was really cool. But then we did Rise of the Resistance, you're like, oh my God. I was like, I'll be, Scoop Nation, we're all close here. I was like getting choked up. It was just so awesome.
It's so cool. Good. It is. You know what it is, Damon? This is the way I would categorize it. Tell me if you agree.
Yeah.
It's, so the Millennium Falcon ride, Smuggler's Run, feels like the Imagineers at Disney were given a very strict schedule saying you got to get this done by opening day of Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
And they produced a ride within those probably difficult constraints. And it's a good ride.
Yeah.
But Rise of the Resistance to me feels like the Imagineers were given a blank check and told, go make the best ride you can possibly make. And because it feels like there was nothing held back from that ride. There were like no corners cut at all.
Aren't you guys mad that the Tron light cycle ride was only announced for Florida though?
Yeah, we could. That is a bummer. And there's the new
ride that nobody wanted but us.
The new Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster.
At
Disney World. I had a chance to, we went to Disney World this past summer for the first time. It's like Space Mountain 2.0, and I'm so mad that we're not going to get it here in California.
Yeah, I want to do that too. I'll be at Disneyland in March, and so I can't wait. I will refuse to do anything but make sure that we do the trip around that, because I haven't been to the Star Wars area at all.
Yeah, and Sam, the new ride in the kid area in the back, Toontown, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will be open by the time you go. I got to ride. That's also in Florida, and
that was cool.
It's really good. Like, definitely don't skip that one.
Is there a Spider-Man ride now too?
Yeah,
in California Adventure.
In California Adventure, yeah. I thought that one was just okay.
Skippable.
It's Connect 2.0. I mean 3.0. It's
actually
It's you are doing this, and it is just using cameras to sense you doing it. It is. Xbox fans will have a good chuckle when they ride that ride.
Yeah,
that's funny.
The Guardians ride at California Adventure is also super fun. That was really, really good too.
Not the Guardians ride at Disneyland though. You're saying the elephant. Well, I never got to go in the Twilight Zone version of that, so I'm a little disappointed.
Oh. It's still in Florida, Sam. It's still Tower of Terror.
I know.
Florida, so you got to get out there.
Okay. Anyway, that's enough about that. Before we get into the big topic this week, I just want to know, Sam, are you still playing Elden Ring?
Well, let me tell you, Damon, on my lunch break 45 minutes ago, I beat Renala, Queen of the Full Moon.
Wow. Okay. That one took me out. That was one of the harder fights for me.
Yeah. So that one was, there's like a round and then a boss round, right? Is that the one you're thinking of? Yeah.
A round.
Yeah. So that first round like sucks. but just because you have to wade through it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm there. So I don't know what I'm going to do from here, though, because I know there's other games coming out, and it's like, it has its claws in me enough that I can play it more, but like, am I going to rather play Dead Space? Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, you still have a couple more weeks before Dead Space comes out, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I guess I want to, I'll play some more. But anyway, so I'm at the point where like, I can do, I know what I'm doing. Like, I can hold my own. But when I go around that world and explore, I'm like, this is fun. I like exploring the world. But if I engage with anything, it probably kills me. And I don't think that's a great way to explore a game. But it's kind of funny. Yeah. It's like one hit kills too. I'm like, well, I didn't even get a chance to like use my new thing that I'm now good at, like rolling well or something. It's just like, it's bullshit. It's like the first time I played Metal Gear Solid 3 and everybody's like, this is the best game ever made. And I was like, these menus are ridiculous, y'all. And then I had to force myself to play it forever. And I understand it now, but I still think it's ridiculous. It's not a great game. But like, yeah, this is the best version of 3D Castlevania that will ever exist, I imagine.
It's a good way to put it.
But I want 2D Castlevania, frankly.
Well, that Legacy Dungeon that you just finished, I think that was my favorite one, maybe. That's the one I enjoyed.
That was a cool one. There's a lot of rooftop stuff. And the horrible masked magic users, they're terrible.
Yep.
All those the guillotine creature, which you're not even supposed to kill because it doesn't give you anything and it doesn't even help.
Well, that means you went up the path for the big boulders rolling down?
Yeah, I did the part. Yeah. I went, well, you get to lead that NPC out.
Is that what you did? That's
I did only because you told me that it was possible. Yeah. I probably get hit by the ball twice as much as it did, but
well, funny. Okay. This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the U.S. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
On a game.
Our big topic this week, Ubisoft just canceled 3 more unannounced games and delayed Skull and Bones again. This is the 6th time they've delayed it. I can't believe it was supposed to be out in, March, I think. It got originally got a release date for November, delayed into this year. Now just delayed again until sometime in its fiscal year 23-24.
Yeah, so. Ubisoft's release schedule is the Elden Ring of release schedules.
Yeah, exactly.
Impossible boss fights.
They said this all happens amid major challenges in the industry and the underperformance of Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, and Just Dance 2023. Now, it's unfortunate that Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope underperformed because that game is fantastic. It's better than the original, and the original was already great. I don't think Ubisoft should be very surprised to hear that Just Dance is underperforming, though. Just Dance's moment is over. It's over.
But I think it's one of those, I think it sells millions every year, just kind of quietly, right? Like, it's just a little bit of a blind spot for all of us. Although I own one of them on the Switch and my family likes it well enough. But, I have other points I want to make about this, but I'm always really curious. When companies announce that they canceled unannounced games, it's just like, oh, okay. It's just such a weird thing to say. It's like,
it's weird.
Oh. I don't know. All right. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, you could say nothing, but I guess they're kind of saying we've been working really hard and we're not canceling Beyond Good and Evil. That's my subtext of
taking. We're working really hard.
Never.
No, they're, or it's a little it's just bit of like this is for shareholders. It's just saying, "Hey, we're not going to be sinking resources into some of this other stuff anymore. So we're going to be smarter with our money." At least theoretically that's the message they're trying to convey.
Yeah. Yeah. And also a little bit of like, you know, they're going to have nothing for a while. And that's why they can point back to that
point.
Well, it's just it's been this way for I think since the start of this console generation, they were there for the at launch. They had Assassin's Creed Valhalla and then that Greek mythology game, of which I can't.
Immortals Phoenix Rising.
They had
formerly Gods and Monsters.
That's right. That's right. And then last year, they really just had Far Cry 6.
Six.
I think, which was good enough. And then early this year, they launched some sort of, is it Rainbow Six Extraction? Is that one?
Oh, yeah. God, I already forgot about that game.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. And then this fall, they just had Mario plus Rabbids and Just Dance. So it's just they've been really quiet this whole generation. And they have all these games that they've announced. Of course, Skull and Bones, which we've been waiting forever for. They have new Assassin's Creed Mirage, which is supposed to be out later this year. And then the Japanese Assassin's Creed, which is like codenamed Jade, I think.
As part of some kind of Assassin's Creed platform.
Yeah,
exactly.
Assassin's Creed Infinity, which we still don't know a lot about. They have Beyond Good and Evil 2, of course. They have their announced Star Wars game, which we know absolutely nothing about.
Other than it supposedly
exists. And then they have their Avatar game, which was supposed to be out last fall, and then they got delayed until sometime, maybe probably later this year.
Gotta be a this year game.
Right? Like, Ubisoft has over 20,000 employees. And for comparison, both Electronic Arts and Activision Blizzard have about 10,000 each.
Wow. So
they're twice as big as these other publishers. And like, what's everybody doing? What are they working on?
I've said it on Scoop before that like I just feel like I get worried about like it just it's feeling like impossible to make big AAA video games anymore. Yeah. Like it's just getting harder and harder, and the level of resources required, like you know, Ubisoft has these Frankenstein studios where 1,000 people across, you know, multiple continents in multiple, you know, different countries all band together to make an Assassin's Creed game. And like, my image is that it was always kind of like teetering on the brink and like now is maybe kind of like fallen over a little bit. Like COVID did a number on like the pipelines required to make big AAA games and just the disruption to that workflow. And I don't know that any of that's true. That's just like my speculation of the number of Far Cry 6 came and went. And like, I think IGN liked the game well enough, Damon. I think you liked the game well enough, but it's not, these games aren't like the number of AAA games that come out and are bad is higher than it's ever been. You know, Cyberpunk is the highest profile example, but a decade ago or 15 years ago, it was not very common for a big AAA game to be bad. They hit like a minimum quality threshold of like they were going to be okay at the least. And like I feel like we're seeing like the cracks a little bit in like in what big high budget AAA video game development looks like now.
Yeah. Justin, I don't know if I would quite agree with bad, but I think how I would characterize it is there's so many games all the time, even with how long these AAA games take that a good game comes out, but good isn't good enough. You have to be amazing to stand out from the crowd. And so the good games come and they just come and go. They get forgotten because there's a great game to play. So it's just the risk is so high, given the, you know, in terms of the amount of money that's being sunk in. I mean, Damon, I will say you did leave out the Splinter Cell remake.
Yep.
I got to shout that out as our resident Splinter Cell super fan. As far as we know, that's still in development and unfortunately still very early in development. And then, boy, with Skull and Bones, that they're going for the Duke Nukem crown at this point for length of time in development.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing.
I like that they said, this is the quote from this announcement. They said, "We had decided to postpone Skull and Bones release in order to have more time to showcase a much more polished and balanced experience and to build awareness I don't think that part's the problem. I don't think awareness is the problem. I think gamers are well aware of this game.
Well, if you cancel it a few more times, it becomes notorious, and then that's a good marketing campaign.
Well, so I'll get serious for a second. Like, if so, Ubisoft, they are clearly struggling. Their stock price is the lowest it's been in five years or whatever it is. I wonder if the Activision Blizzard deal is not able to go through for Microsoft for whatever reason, and it would be like a regulatory reason or, you know, a legal FTC situation. I wonder if Microsoft might try to swoop in and buy low on Ubisoft, because there are so many good IPs there, and quite frankly, a lot of talent as well. You know, you mentioned 20,000 employees, which is a lot for certainly the output that they're doing, but I have to wonder if that's their plan B, should Activision Blizzard not go through.
Yeah.
Or somebody, like, it's going to get cheap enough that, like, someone's going to have to sniff around them, some other big company.
Yeah. But the weird thing about that is that up until just a couple of years ago, Ubisoft was actively trying to fight off a hostile takeover, right?
Yeah. Right.
That was a good little while ago, right? That was long enough. Vendy ago. Way back. Yeah.
I forgot to mention the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake that got delayed
the
void.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with all of these game delays, like, you'd think there'd be like a year soon in which there's just a banner year for Ubisoft, but then they would need to make sure this doesn't happen again by making a bunch of games, of which they canceled three that might come out in 5 years today, which is like, that's not great. It's not a good series of dominoes that's falling.
Yeah.
Damon, I hope I'm not stepping on your toes here, but can we address Yves Guillemot's, the CEO's, statement?
Yeah, I was
going to get to that.
To that too, where he said the ball's in your court.
Which is like, like, what? I mean, come on.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
We have a management issue.
Yes.
And it's like, and you know, how high you want to go on that, whether, you know, whether you want to hold the CEO accountable, or I guess the better question is, I mean, yes, you hold the CEO accountable, but how far down on the management layer do we hold studio heads accountable? I mean, Microsoft's been going through this a little bit with, you know, we 343 and the Halo franchise has struggled for a while, and we just saw a shakeup at the top of that studio not too long ago. And so, yeah, it's the if I'm working at Ubisoft and I'm toiling away on whichever project it is, whether it's one of these three unannounced games that was canceled, or whether it's one of the whether it's Skull and Bones that's been in development forever, or one it's one of these other ones, if I hear my CEO say that it's up to me to work harder to get, like, well, hold on. Wait a second here. I'm doing my part. You can't manage for shit. What is the problem? It's not me. It's you.
Yeah. So that statement's so incredible. Like, and I know, like, tough. Look, like, it's a company of 20,000 people. Like, no, it's not Yves Guillemot's fault that, like, these games are being canceled and delayed. But the statement of, like, everyone's just going to need to work a little bit harder and a little bit faster. It's like, dude, that's like, read the room.
It's like the words were, the ball's in your court. Like, what are you going to be doing, Yves?
it's just the tone deaf nature of it was just like so jaw dropping to me.
And I want to circle back for a second on just to kind of remind everybody. I know Ubisoft has kind of been a little bit of the butt of a joke in the industry for a while, in the sense of, not that their games are bad, but in the sense of, oh, you know, they just make the Ubisoft game where it's a checklist and all this. But we are not far removed from Ubisoft being one of the most creative major publishers on the planet. I mean, when they had the Tom Clancy franchises all singing, I mean, Ghost Recon has had, I mean, it's had its ups and downs, but that's a great IP. Rainbow Six, to their credit, that is one of their staples right now. Rainbow Six Siege has succeeded immensely as effectively a live service game now. It came out in 2015. The game's 7 years old. I reviewed the initial version of it for IGN way back then. But, you know, Splinter Cell used to be a pinnacle of innovation. Like, it just turned the stealth genre on its head. And you had stuff like Valiant Hearts. You had South Park, The Stick of Truth. This is a company that there is so much creativity in there, and it's just, as a player, I feel like we're not seeing any of it. And And now, and that's where I hold management accountable, not the development teams.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, they're a huge,
I mean, to me, it says that he's, that his statement seems to be indicating that delays and undelivered games are the result of studios. And he's like saying, you guys got to get your act together, which is wholly unfair. But I think that's his state of mind, is that he's like doing like a tough love thing, because some of that is out of his control. He can't just say ship the game. I mean, the studios have to make the games, and they're not making them, right? They're not done.
Yeah.
It's hard. I circle back to, I mean, you name dropped Halo Infinite, which I loved Halo Infinite, and I think it deserved all the praise that it got. Yeah. But, you know, there's no denying that that game didn't make the mark that, like, you know, Microsoft really wanted. It kind of came and went, as you phrased it, Ryan, and like, you know, and it's been troubled post launch, right? Like, it just feels, it feels, and maybe it's always been this hard and been this impossible, but it feels like it's so hard to be in that highest upper echelon of like game development these days, whereas you have, I don't know why this company just popped into my head, but like a Supergiant making like Hades, like that feels like the place maybe you want to be, not on like, you know, this quadruple A, like, you know, we're going to work on some impossibly beautiful 4K 60 FPS game for 7 years and then, you know, and then hope it's good and people like it. And I don't know how sustainable that is.
Yeah.
Unless you're Rockstar, then you know, then sure, you can pull it off. You have two of the biggest IPs on the planet. But yeah, you're right. It's like, if you're not in that, it's getting, I guess, is it fair to say, maybe to put it another way, the industry is getting more and more top heavy every year.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, or even like the games that we don't like, there was games like, I don't know, like Perfect Dark was announced how many years ago? Does that game exist? And like, you know, maybe it's coming out this fall and I'm going to eat my words, but it's like, I feel like there's more that, well, I know, but like, I'm just saying, like, we don't know, like there's more games than ever that like, oh yeah, what happened to that? That was supposed to be a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Ryan was alluding to Ubisoft's reputation, which, you know, it's probably deserves. But like, I actually like the Ubisoft formula. I like open world games where you have to collect a lot of things and check things off the map and craft new, you know, a new arrow bag that can hold more arrows. I like doing all that. So I miss, you know, a good, you know, strong Ubisoft game like Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Far Cry 3, 4, 5. I like all those games.
And to their credit, even like their most formulaic game, Assassin's Creed, they've shaken that up in cool ways. Like the pirate version of it was very different. And then now they have a complete different combat system that's more like, I guess, like a Souls game. Like it's really cool how they've been doing that.
Yeah, Sam, I think it's fair to say they reinvented Assassin's Creed
100%
very, very successfully.
I think they'd be trepidation. They might not do that again anytime soon. It might be samey for a while now.
To me, the easy wins, not that it's easy to make games, but they wholly own the Tom Clancy game IP. Mm-hmm. And Ghost Recon, okay, Rainbow Six is chugging along, that's fine. Ghost Recon, Splinter Cell, those are the areas.
What was the flying game? Warhawks? What was it? What was it called?
I mean,
it was Hawks.
And even Rainbow Six, though, like Siege is awesome, but the market would surely love a single player and co-op focused new Rainbow Six game that could be, you know, like a 4-player PvE kind of thing. The Clancy stuff, I feel like, is just right there for some team in Ubisoft to go and do and really, you know, bring back to the forefront the way that they were in the original Xbox days. And I mean, I know they're taking those steps. They're kind of taking baby steps with Splinter Cell doing the remake, and that's great. But yeah, I don't understand how like Ghost Recon has been languishing for a while. And I do think there's room. You know, they tried the Rainbow Six Extraction. They tried to branch out there. It didn't work. But go back to single player tactics, like first person, 4-player tactical, you know, first person shooter. It's there. They could totally crush.
Remember
that.
How they were supposed to be like paragons of sharing assets, and that was going to like change the way they were able to like pump out games like across the worldwide studios.
I always thought that was EA. Maybe it was both.
Yeah, it was Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right, coming out of E3.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, they've been chasing the free to play dragon very unsuccessfully with the, what is it? Is it defiant Tom Clancy. That was their last Clancy experiment, where they were throwing all the Clancy stuff into one free to play multiplayer shooter. And it's like,
what's the sword and board game that had a long life?
For Honor.
For Honor. Yeah, and then they had that also, right? Two division games.
Yep.
That roller derby game.
Oh yeah. Did that come out?
Apparently it's very good.
I think it did, yeah.
It's like beta version or something. Yeah.
Well, troubled times for Ubisoft. I hope they can get things back on track.
But their year could look like Avatar and Assassin's Creed. Like that could be in the remake of Assassin's Creed also.
Yeah, actually, they had a quote about what they still have in the pipeline. They said the investors were reassured that for the next fiscal year that starts in April, Ubisoft has Avatar, Assassin's Creed Mirage, and other premium unannounced games, including a large one.
Mm. Ooh, okay. I like large premium unannounced games. Yeah, right? Well, I prefer them announced, though.
Yeah. I mean, even if Assassin's Creed and Avatar, if they both hit, then they're going to be fine this year, for at least financially speaking. Because, you know, they've got to be thrilled that Avatar is doing great at the box office. They're like, okay, great. Well, that means there's an audience for our game. So, and the one, that big trailer that they put out, I don't remember which showcase that was. It looked really good. So hopefully that game turns out well.
Yeah.
Yep.
James Cameron's going to be disappointed with its graphics. I can tell you that.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go back to a time when Ubisoft was doing a lot of things right. January 2008, Rainbow Six Vegas 2 graces the cover of the official Xbox magazine, which Ryan was working at the time. We also have Assassin's Creed on the cover here, which would have just come out in fall of 2007. Got a 2008 blowout, and then also an open letter to Microsoft. Six changes that Xbox 360 needs for 2008.
That's tense, Ryan. How many of those did you write? Five or six?
I'm curious how much of this stuff I wrote, because like I definitely remember covering Vegas too. I don't know if I wrote this story or the review or both, but I guess we'll find out.
I hope you wrote the open letter. That's what I hope. I'll be able to tell. I know you're right.
I still do that at IGN. I write open letters and totally put them on IGN.
100%. I've edited them.
There is an ad for Mass Effect, which was already out at this time, right? That was a fall 2017.
Or just coming out, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I love that ad.
Came out in November.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good ad.
Yeah.
And a great game.
Okay.
How the heck are we not getting great Mass Effects all the time? It's so nuts.
I know.
BioWare lost their way for a while, and hopefully they've rediscovered themselves.
Hey, we made one of the most beloved and well-liked just modern RPG franchises of all time. Should we make more? No? Nope. All right.
We're good with the trilogy? Okay.
I guess they did make one more, and then that sort of hosed that, you know, they had to right the ship.
They've been working on a Dragon Age for 20 years.
Yeah, and Mass Effect.
I think the new ones are going to be good.
Me too.
EA just needs to cancel some unannounced games to get those out.
On the demo disc, you got Virtua Fighter 5 Online, Frontlines Fuel of War. Don't remember that one. Simpsons game.
What I remember about that, real quick, Damon. Pretty competent first-person shooter. But as I if that's the one I'm thinking of, it had the single-player campaign was literally 2 hours long. Like I beat it in one sitting.
Hell yeah!
Wow.
But it wasn't bad. It was fun. It just was. I was like, really? That's it?
The Simpsons game, that was the EA 3D Simpsons one. I remember going to an event for that. Gotham Racing 4.
Is that for the movie, maybe?
It was around the same time, but it's not, you know, based on the movie. It's just
really there's not. I don't think that game ended up being called the Simpsons game.
I think so, or maybe it's just the Simpsons.
Well, Road Rage is the one everybody loves.
Yeah,
that one's I don't remember which one this one is.
And they had NHL 2K8, and then you got Xbox Live Arcade demos for Exit and Mutant Storm Empire. I'm sure I played both of those, but I don't remember either one.
Yeah, I have Exit on the PSP. It's really good.
The title game. And then you had a video of Tim Schafer's Brutal Legend and Dark Sector. Art galleries for Burnout Paradise, Golden Axe, Soul Calibur 4, Bionic Commando. Cool. Kick things off with I think this is a preview for a new RTS, Supreme Commander.
Oh, yeah.
This was like a time when there were a lot of RTS games coming to Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, kind of. It was already past the RTS's prime, but it's like it goes through these ebbs and flows. And, you know, like it was experiencing kind of the genre's first resurgence now. Then would resurge a second time with StarCraft 2. But yeah. Supreme Commander is incredible. It's great. Great game.
And Halo Wars was kind of opened the door, I would say. And then, yeah, you had some good stuff like that one. And Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle Earth 2 was really good on the 360.
Yep,
it played was, it on, yeah. on
360. Halo Wars is so fun. I love that game. I love how the Spartans functioned in it as like these OP little units. Yeah. It's just great. It just taught me more about the Halo universe than any of the Halo games.
Yeah, and
they're on Game Pass.
It works because Halo originally started as a strategy game before Bungie went, oh, no, let's make this a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it totally, it's all set up. That's why it works.
Yeah, the units are all kind of set that way, huh?
In the Meet the Team section, they asked everyone, what's your best dance move? Ryan, do you remember what your answer was?
No. Not at all.
He said, I have no dancing ability whatsoever, so I call my move the Escapist, simply described. Anytime I'm ever stuck on a dance floor, I create some kind of diversion, like throwing a rock at a window so that I can then sneak away like Batman once nobody's looking at me.
That reads like someone else just made that up for me. I'm not sure if I wrote that one.
There's also a blurb from the Meet the Team provided by Mitch Dyer.
Mitch!
Ooh, down here.
Look at that.
Yeah. Which is interesting here because there's also a letter from a Mitchell Dyer.
What? That's a little bit sus. I'm going to be honest.
Is it a coincidence? I don't know. Oh yeah. I guess you in a previous issue there was a an op-ed from Dennis Dyack on the eventual one console future that Ryan, a lot of your readers were not big fans of.
Well, fortunately, that never happened. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That Steam Deck, you can play Xbox and PS games on it.
I used to have a coworker pre-IGN that would always rant about like a one console future. It's going to be one platform. It's going to be like the VCR, the DVD player. I'm like, I don't think so. He was insistent.
Dennis did get a 1-2 human future though.
Aww.
Instead of three games.
Oh, that's the oof.
Sorry, Dennis.
Cold.
He's a nice guy.
What was OXM Universe? Because we have a letter here.
I'm struggling to remember. I think it was some like game we were trying to do on our disc every month, if I remember correctly.
There's a letter about it. It says, I understand that someone put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into creating OXM Universe. I appreciate their effort. The music is pretty good. The graphics are pretty good. The design is massively flawed and boring. Stick to reviews. I just don't know what it is something on the demo disc. I just don't know exactly what it was meant
to be. I haven't heard that OXM Universe. I haven't heard those words together in a long time.
And I respect putting it in the magazine. Like, yeah, just don't print that letter.
And then in your staff credits here, the writing staff is listed under Dreamcast. The art staff is TurboGrafx-16. The publishers are 3DO. The producers are Atari Jaguar, and then there's a separate segment for Neo Geo Pocket and Amiga. Someone was
calling those. We call those Easter eggs in the business. Damon.
Got it.
Because nobody reads though. It's that stuff. I just
read it.
Thank you.
You got a preview for Saboteur, which I could have sworn that game didn't come out, but it did.
It did.
Yeah. What?
I think it was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Well, except it put Pandemic out of business, I think.
Well.
I mean, is that true?
Whoops.
Yeah. I think it was their last game.
Man, I like the Saboteur.
I don't think I ever actually played it.
It was like a totally competent, like, you know, B-tier open world game.
Pandemic will always have a special place in my heart for Full Spectrum Warrior, which is a tremendous, awesome, unique game.
There was a preview of the original Dead Space, which would come out later that year.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for the remake. A preview of The Club. I don't remember The Club, but I remember Pirates versus Ninjas Dodgeball, which came from Gamecock. This is the time period of Gamecock in all those games.
I remember that company name, but I don't remember. Are they just like cheapo games that were downloadable? Is that what they were?
They weren't all downloadable, but they're, yeah. I mean, their games are all over the place. Mushroom Men. Do you remember Mushroom Men?
They were kind of like, they were a similar vibe to Devolver, but not as cool and good.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True. Yep. And the club, by the way, was that was Bizarre, the makers of Project Gotham Racing. They did a shooter.
Yep.
Weird. Really?
Huh. Yeah.
And then you have your insert coin section would look at upcoming Xbox Live Arcade games, which include Aces of the Galaxy, Commander's Attack of the Genos. I remember playing that one. That was a turn-based strategy one.
I believe that was my first IGN review.
Wow. Okay. Commando 3 from Capcom, a sequel to Commando.
I don't remember that.
I remember, yeah. I don't think I ever played it because IGN gave it kind of like a 6 or something. But I do remember it coming out. And if you're confused about, well, where's Commando 2? Apparently Capcom considers Mercs to be Commando 2.
I have to look up if I reviewed that game.
I like the Commando lore we're getting.
Yep.
Yeah, seriously.
There was also Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix coming out. And then Legendary the Box, that was another Gamecock game.
Yeah, this was a game that had really neat potential, but I think we gave this an OXM. I think we gave it. Oh, I previewed it. Look at that. I think we gave this like a 4 when it came out. It just, it didn't come together in the end.
But the premise was good. Big reviewed Attack of the Genos for IGN. I must have reviewed it for our Arizona local paper.
Hmm. Yeah, IGN gave Legendary the Box a 2.
Ooh.
Wow.
What's in the box?
And then there's a preview of Frontlines, Field of War. Turning Point Fall of Liberty. Oh, that's another Ryan McCaffrey preview.
Yeah, another awesome premise that just didn't pan out. Yeah, this was Codemasters, as I recall.
Codemasters, I think.
I believe so.
Developed by Spark Unlimited.
Yeah, an alternate history World War II game where I think the Nazis invade New York. But yeah, this didn't turn out well in the end either.
Yeah,
I'm increasingly of the opinion, like I was just talking about how like better and smoother games were 15 years ago. It's like, there may have been a little bit of like rose colored glasses going on my part. All these games look exactly the same and they all have the most generic names and all the heroes are just like these buzz headed, you know, Marines.
And the color palettes are
a lot of brown. Yeah, this is the brown era.
But, you know, to your point earlier, Justin, about, you know, we were talking about sort of the nature of the industry now. Like this era, you still had those kind of double A games or B games that could be good. They weren't all good. Like Turning Point didn't turn out to be good, but you could have these good games that weren't these, you know, $80 million behemoths.
Yep. Yeah. The middle is completely fallen out.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is an ad for something called the Switchblade. It says, play World of Warcraft with an Xbox 360 controller.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, no, I don't think I will.
I mean, sure, but couldn't you, haven't you always just
but
been
able
to just
plug? But it's literally not. It's a different controller.
Can't you just plug your 360 controller into a PC? Haven't you always
been
able to do that?
Maybe not back then. I don't know.
Maybe not back then.
Maybe not. I don't know what this device would be then. So it's just an adapter then?
I guess.
Yeah.
I thought it was like its own thing. I don't know.
That made it sound like go back. It sounds like it's software.
Cutting free software, download, fully customizable. Play WoW in comfort.
Weird.
I guess it must trick WoW into recognizing a gamepad as a usable input device.
Yeah. This is the Vegas 2 preview and says words by Ryan McCaffrey.
Oh, I did write it. Okay. Yep. Which meant I would have gone up to Ubisoft Montreal to see the game. That's how.
Oh, cool.
That was par for the course for a cover story. You always went to the studio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big piece.
Look at that cover story.
An ad for a. Well, it's not really. I guess it's an ad. It's a heroic map pack. A heroic map pack.
I remember that pack.
I'm into Halo 3.
Yeah, loved
first
all these map
three
packs.
New maps. Mm-hmm. What was it? Standoffs, Rats, Nests, and Foundry.
Mm-hmm.
Foundry. Although,
those three maps are not the best, but like, I love that era of like, I mean, now it's sort of like new maps. Like you just get new maps in every game all the time. But back then it was like a whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
A whole feature on where do Rock Band songs come from?
I'll definitely add. No, I didn't even have to see the byline to know that was a Dan Amrick piece.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting topic.
Yeah, that's cool.
Ad for Assassin's Creed, the original. I mean, it got a lot of good scores. I think it was like a 7 out of 10 from IGN, yeah. But GamesRadar gave it a 10. Official PlayStation Magazine gave it 5 out of 5, and GamePro gave it 5 out of 5.
I was going to say, like, I feel like the original was a little bit, like, it didn't hit its stride till 2.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. And here's that feature. The real-time revolution strategy games go from experimental to essential on Xbox 360 in 2008. Halo Wars, Universe at War, World in Conflict, End War, Civilization Revolution, Command and Conquer 3.
Dude, do you remember how good Civ Rev was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good.
Yes, agreed. I think I played all these RTS games on 360.
Yep.
Xbox Now. Oh, yeah, this is the review section.
Reviews, so, yeah.
Reviews for Assassin's Creed, you give an 8.5.
Okay, yeah.
Good luck. Seen it? Lights, camera, action?
I remember we had fun with this when Dan was reviewing it. Yeah, this was a good time.
This was like playing
in the IGN office.
It's like a movie, like trivia game.
Yeah, right? With a custom little buzzer controller. Yeah, that you see there on the page.
The buzzer controller is great. It was very like You Don't Know Jack-ish. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was made by, published by Microsoft, developed by some WXP. Don't
know. Published by Microsoft? I would have never guessed that.
This is a strange ad for Halo 3. It's just, it's an in-game screenshot of just Master Chief walking. It just says a hero need not speak when he is gone. The world will speak for him.
But he does speak. I guess not much.
Soldier Fortune Payback. Ryan, you got to do that one.
Oh, yeah. I really liked the originals from Raven that were PC games. They were, as you guys will remember, they were kind of the first big games that really featured dismemberment. Like, you could actually shoot different parts of the body. Oh. And that was not always a thing in video games. And Soldier of Fortune was the first to really do that. And they really leaned into it. It was totally like, this game probably wouldn't get made now because Soldier of Fortune is a gun magazine. So it's like that would not fly in today's society. And this third one, this was like a super budget version that it was not good. Clearly, if you see from the 4.5, but the originals were good.
I mean, the publisher is even Activision Value.
Yeah, which is not a great sign.
Yeah. N Plus, I played a lot of that game on Xbox Live.
Too.
You guys gave it a 7.
Didn't the new one come out not that long ago, like a couple of years ago, I think?
It's up to N Plus Plus now.
Right. Yeah.
Was that one of the early games that like would show all of the previous deaths you had in some way, like Super Meat Boy did?
So it's something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe the blood stayed in the stage after you died or something.
Yeah. And then a game called Screwjumper, which I don't remember that one. Blacksite Area 51, Dan Stapleton.
Look at that. Got Dan to review a game for OXM.
Yep. He gave it a 6.
Dan picked up an Xbox controller. How did we pull that off?
Shallow but mildly entertaining action. And then like last time, there's a 10-page sort of advertorial on mobile games of the time.
It's back.
It's back.
Hey,
CTIA. So I was running a mobile games website in this year in 2008, and that conference that they're talking about, CTIA and all of these games, this was my world at that era.
What
I think I said, maybe I mentioned it last time, that the way we would review those games is they physically mail me a flip phone in the mail that was loaded up with like their 6 latest games. So I'd play them and review them and then ship the game back, the phone back.
Did CTIA just go away after like the iPhone arrived?
I think it's still around. It's the Cellular Telecommunications Industry Association, if I recall correctly, and they have a conference in like Vegas or San Diego or somewhere every year. I mean, maybe not. Like I haven't been there in a decade, but it was just a big mobile games trade show.
Well, I'm surprised even in 2008 how many mobile versions of AAA games were.
Right.
It has Assassin's Creed.
That's exactly what I was hoping. Like, there's these weird, and I'm not saying the games are like good or worthwhile. Like, nobody needs to like track them down or emulate them or play them. But it's like there's this weird parallel universe where there's like sprite 2D versions of Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell and all these games that like they're just fascinating. They're these fascinating sort of parts of history of like there's a pretty decent 2D sprite. Like, it looks like an SNES
Yeah. Assassin's Creed does not look bad just from the screenshots. And then there's Guitar Hero Mobile.
Yeah, well, that may have been bad. The games, you know, whatever. They did their best. I just think that they're for how much people know about the lore and history of these games and where they come from, there's this whole, like, wing of that history that's just, like, borderline lost to the sands of time.
They had a mobile version of Prey.
Wow.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed.
Human again. Head Prey, not the, yeah, the one that was sort of focused around Native American culture. Yeah.
I played the demo on Xbox 360.
That was a really good game, actually. And the multiplayer did this, like, kind of MC Escher-esque stuff where it was a really good game.
The multiplayer did Portals, I think, right?
Exactly.
So that breakout looks fun. Did these games, like, chug like crazy? Were they, like, framey crap games, or did they work?
A little of both.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the 6 resolutions for Microsoft by the staff. This is just by the OXM staff. So, number one was fix the DRM glitch. And this was what? Because your game is tied to, like, your one console. So if you got a new console...
I don't remember.
It was hard to transfer your games over to the next console, I think.
That must have been
Is that when they... Remember when they put out the hard drive transfer kit? You get a disc and a cable?
Yeah.
Mm. Weird.
That was related.
Number two, let's see some XNA stuff already.
Oh, yeah. There's a blast from the past.
Yeah, which was like a student program allowing people like student
homebrew dev gamers, stuff
homebrew guys to publish stuff on Xbox Live. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's ringing a bell.
There's a few really good ones and mostly clunkers.
Mm-hmm. Number three, clean up behavior on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Still applies today.
Still working on that one. Look at the Blade menu. It's so good. Remember that menu?
Yeah.
Yep.
It can. Number four, don't sully the first party software stable.
Hmm.
I think so. It says Microsoft published some sweet first party games in 2007, Halo 3, Forza 2, PGR4, Blue Dragon, and Mass Effect. But it also backed some surprisingly prominent stinkers with Tenchu Z, Fusion Frenzy 2, and Vampire Reign. Hmm. So they were publishing too many games back then.
That's funny.
Oh, to be back in the 360 era.
Yep. Number five, what happened to customization? I guess they sort of dropped the customizable faceplates idea pretty quickly.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Those were everywhere. They were all over the office.
They were buried in our office. Number six, quality control, now and forever. Let us never see another red ring of death.
Mm-hmm. They did eventually fix it.
They did. They did.
And they fixed mine. I remember the coffin very well.
And just sort of like the news and rumors section, I guess for the 5th anniversary of Xbox Live Arcade, they gifted all users a copy of Carcassonne.
Oh, man, I didn't remember that. Yeah, I didn't love
either, but Carcassonne was great.
It was great. That and Catan were both so good on XBLA.
This section, Inbox and the Rumor Mole, spoiler, it was me. I can now reveal.
I like the Rumor Mole pun.
Yeah, that's good.
Rock Band was going to be in short supply for a while. Do you remember like music?
Oh yeah,
music games being. I guess it was like a supply chain issue back then.
Yes, and it was the first time. I mean, obviously, console launches were happening around that time, like the Wii were like really scarce. But the Rock Band full bundle, that was one that was really early. It was like on Amazon early, and people could get the giant box delivered on Amazon, and they went out of print really fast. Mm-hmm. It was a really fun time. That was a great, great multiplayer fun party time when those games were popular.
Partnership between BioWare and LucasArts for, well, they won't say exactly. In one of the most cryptic announcements ever, the companies failed to mention a title, platform, genre, release date, or any other pertinent information. Hell, they didn't even give us any hints. Fans suspect it's a massively multiplayer online role-playing game set in the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic universe.
And it
I
was.
I mean, that was
so the Old Republic.
Still around, right?
Yep.
Outsold. The Xbox outsold the PlayStation 3 and the homeland of Japan for 1 week.
We did it, you guys.
Yep. Yeah.
I wonder what caused that.
And then, Ryan, you reviewed a TV. This is our last page here. You reviewed a Mitsubishi 73-inch 1080p HD TV. You gave it an 8.5.
That is a big TV, especially for 2008.
Yeah. Back then it cost $3,600.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that I remember when that, like, just physically getting those in the office was a chore. Like, it was not an easy situation.
That's so funny. How big was it? What was the inch?
73
inches. That must have been the heaviest thing back then.
Yeah. A DLP, so it was not a thin panel, you know, it would have been at least like a good foot and a half deep.
I also want to point out that the box underneath says HDTV Hotbox.
Yep.
someone snuck that one through.
Well, my friends, there you have it. The January 2008 issue of OXM Magazine, starring Ryan McCaffrey. And that brings us to video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Alex from Coos Bay, Oregon.
How's our record this year, Ben? You doing good?
I think we're doing great.
You made it last week, right? I think so. So you're one for one.
Yeah, the one other time I was on, I guess it was in 2022, we did get it. So see.
So we're on a Ryan streak and a 2023 streak.
Yeah, if I can not drag us down.
Okay. Those are good signs.
Well, let the questioning begin.
By the way, Justin's pixel screen today is so good.
I plugged it in. That thing is really cool, but it's a little bit of it just has some setup stuff that I don't use it as often as I would like. I don't make New Year's resolutions, but I'm going to try to like plug it in and use it more often this year. Let me get my head out of the way. I'm going the wrong way. There we
go. Is this game from before 2000?
No.
Did this game appear on the Xbox 360?
No.
Mm. I was hoping there was a meta. Mm-hmm.
Was this game released after 2010?
No.
Okay, so we're probably going the wrong way here.
Did this come out on a disc-based medium?
Yes.
So not a Game Boy or arcade game, PC game, downloadable.
We know the 10 years. We know 2000 to 2010, and it's not a 360 game. So, was this game released on a Nintendo console?
No, that's five.
Okay, so PS2, original Xbox.
I guess it could be original Xbox, couldn't it?
Was this an exclusive to a console?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope it's Xbox for you.
Was it exclusive to the original Xbox?
Yes.
All right, now we're getting somewhere.
I think it's Crimson Skies.
It could be. I mean, there could be a lot of. There are so many great first and third party exclusives. I mean, stuff like Chronicles of Riddick.
Was that published by Microsoft?
No.
Okay. No, is this game published by Microsoft?
No.
Ooh. Okay.
So, all right.
That eliminates so many.
That does knock a lot of stuff out. Where do I want to go with this? Was this game played from the third person perspective?
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking Splinter Cell maybe. Could be there.
Oh, there's the Tom Clancy license problem with us too. Was it based on a license?
We just asked that, didn't we? Oh. Wait,
yes, it was. Played from a third person perspective. Okay. Yes.
So it's not Riddick or Clancy.
It's not published by Microsoft. So that eliminates stuff like Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon. Let's see here.
I don't think those were published by Square.
Oh, but those are 360 games.
Oh, right. Sorry. Oh,
yeah. Early 360.
Gotta get my head back in the game here.
So
it could be a Rare game?
Microsoft would have published all of those. Did they publish Crimson Skies? Could it really be Crimson Skies?
Microsoft published Crimson Skies.
It was, Okay.
Was there a Panzer Dragoon?
Yes, there's Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah, you've got Orta. Panzer, you've got Jet Set Radio. Shenmue 2.
Yes.
Let's ask if it's a Sega game.
There's that Sega to Xbox pipeline in that era.
Yeah.
Is this a Sega game?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Are there smaller games? Like, I know Geometry Wars wasn't on that system, but were there things like that?
Not really.
In the original Xbox era, not so much. Was this game published by Ubisoft?
No.
Okay, so we're scratching them off, too.
What about, like, a Burnout-style game or even, you know, any driving game? Were there, like, you know, Rockstar games that were exclusive to the platform?
Boy, yeah, exclusive racing game. I mean, not that weren't published by Microsoft.
Yeah.
It's a little bit odd. There weren't that many, just because the PS2 was the market leader, like, there wasn't that many Xbox exclusives that weren't Microsoft games. There's a few, you know, or Sega games.
Well, he said, like, yeah, there are definitely some, but, like, Doom 3, but that's a first-person game.
Would it help to know if it's a Japanese developer? Because if it's like Capcom or something.
Yeah. Wait, what was the first person, third person? What was the answer
to that?
It's
third person.
Okay.
Exclusive original Xbox game.
What was the Square Enix, the beatdown, the fighting, the brawl, fighting in the streets game that they released that was bad? Was that them?
What about Ninja Gaiden?
Oh, that's a great one. It's probably Ninja Gaiden.
That's, now we're getting somewhere. Yeah, that's...
I don't know what Justin's talking about. If there's a brawler that's from Square, I don't know what it is.
It's probably not. It's probably, A, I can't remember the name of it, and B, it's probably Ninja Gaiden.
Is it a Japanese developed game?
let's look at it this way. It's possible for a Japanese person to make a game outside of Japan. Yes?
Okay.
So here's where my mind goes. I'm not saying this is what it is.
Tone down the question.
I'm not saying this is what it is, but where my mind goes is that the Final Fantasy creator lived in Hawaii and made games in Hawaii for a long time.
Well, but...
Like Mistwalker, like whatever their first game was.
That was 360.
What
about Team Ninja? Where did they end up?
They're in Japan.
Or are they?
Dead or Alive, that's also... But now, that weird Damon answer...
Yeah,
Dead or Alive. If you're asking me, is the developer based in Japan, I can answer that question for you.
I think it's probably Tecmo, right? Should we just ask?
Well, does this count as another question?
Yes.
He didn't answer that one.
I haven't answered that one. So,
how many questions do we have?
You have 7 questions and a guess left.
Oh, we're doing great. Okay. Yeah. Is the development company based, Japanese based?
No.
Oh, what the hell?
Okay.
Why did you just do that?
Tecmo.
No, so yeah, that rules out Tecmo.
That's such a weird answer. Does that mean that, like, there's some famous, like, Japanese name that got hired for a non-Japanese company to make some Xbox game?
That happens.
Totally.
That's the implication.
Mm-hmm. That is certainly the implication.
Oh,
so now I'm racking my brain of who, like, what publisher, what comp, like.
I mean, I don't know what, like, Platinum was up to. I have no idea.
Well, but they made everything in Japan. Atogi is a great, that is an original Xbox exclusive played from the third person.
I did think about Otogi.
That's all built out of Japan.
Did Mark Cerny work on anything? That guy goes between countries all the time.
Not for Microsoft. Gosh, this is...
We could ask more about the game, like if it's a violent game or if it's a rated M game or if it's, you know, do you play as a human, that type of stuff.
Yes.
It would be helpful to me to know if the game had like multiplayer. Like I associate the original Xbox with like the original Xbox Live.
What about, it's too early for Dead Rising, but what about Inafune, like with, was he up to at that point? But I guess he still would have been
making Mega Man games.
Yeah, and he still was in Japan, I think, at that point. Because
what's like Dead Rising? Anything about Fusion Frenzy? Like, what's that game?
That was Xbox
published by,
right?
Microsoft.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Justin. If you want to do one of your other ones that you were talking about to narrow in.
We know it's not a Japanese studio. So it's like, I assumed it was Tecmo, but like, it's not, so it's not like, you know, it was like, I don't know, like Yuji Naka left Sega, like, but I don't know.
Does this game have sequels?
No.
Oh boy. So an exclusive one-off third person original Xbox exclusive, not developed in Japan. But seemingly from a like Japanese director.
It might not be
director.
A one-off. It might be the end of a series, too, but that's unlikely.
That's true. That is a good point.
Man.
I'm going to be mad at myself if we don't get somebody.
So just mention every series so we can get it out of the way. We can ask the question, did we mention this already? I don't know. I mean, do you want to ask more about the game? Like, do you play as a human? Like that kind of question?
I'm trying to think of other publishers. Like, I'm trying to run through, because there were a lot more publishers back then.
Was that like, I think it's good to know if you play as a human, because there was a few, I mean, I know it's not Conker because that's Xbox published, but there was Blinks. There was Blinks the Time Sweeper.
That's true. But that was published by Microsoft, and that was...
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it might be good. Like, it'd be helpful for me to know if the game's good or like, you know, good or not to get good reviews. Did the game get good reviews?
Yes. That's 15. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
That really makes me feel like we should know it.
Yep.
It's going to be like one of those games we just saw in the magazine, like Army of Two, which you've just forgotten about forever.
Yeah. I mean, that was a 360 game, but.
No, I know. It's just like, they're just so forgotten.
It's not Ninja Gaiden? Because that was Tecmo? Or like,
I mean, there's
or,
like... There's,
or Dead or Alive?
The game Sneakers just popped into my head, but that's was not a great game. That did not get good reviews. Sneakers, you played as a mouse.
It was Capcom that made that giant mech game with like the $200 mech controller,
oh, Steel
right?
Battalion, but that's a first-person game. It's good thinking, though.
Right.
Good thinking.
What about... It can't be Project Gotham Racing because Microsoft published those.
Correct.
Have we mentioned the series yet?
No.
Well, I'm going to be out of ideas here because I just don't. I never owned that system.
And we know
and
it's,
really
it's
know
not
it
Ubisoft. One-off.
So there was in addition to there being like a Sega to Xbox pipeline, like Xbox got PC game. Like, do we know if this game also appeared on PC? Because it could be like Morrowind, you know, or like there were other like there was KOTOR.
Yeah,
although that's licensed, but something like that.
Neither were directed by a Japanese developer.
What's
but yeah,
the
you're.
What's the game that kind of what's the From game that kind of predated Dark Souls? Wasn't that like an Xbox game?
Oh, they made Kingsfield. They made and the other one, oh my god, it's right on
maybe
the top of my brain.
Maybe those were just PS2 games. I can't remember which
consoles
well, they were on.
Like there were Armored Core, but
there's Armored Core.
But that was
that's part of a series. I don't understand the Japan connection, but like the original Fable was, you know, an Xbox exclusive.
Published by Microsoft.
By Microsoft.
Could there be sports or racing?
Like Sudeki was sports. Published by Microsoft. Also didn't get great reviews.
Did we ask the human question? We just got to wrap this up at this point.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you play as a human in this game?
Yes.
Well, boring.
Two questions and a guess left.
Was there a Shinobi on Xbox?
No, there was Ninja Gaiden and Otogi, which we've already talked about.
Did Capcom even make a game for the Xbox?
That's a good question.
Or what about Konami? Did either of those companies even make games?
Konami had... There was the really bad 360 game, Bomberman Act Zero. But you can argue that Bomberman's not a human. I don't know what
that game is so funny. The realistic one.
Yeah, it's real bad. I reviewed it. It's extremely terrible.
I forgot about that. Oh man. Let's see. Tim Schafer stuff. Psychonauts was on multiple systems.
Tim Schafer's, I don't think he has any Japanese heritage that I'm aware of.
Yeah, but he might have somebody on his team or something. Like, I don't know.
I'm so thrown off by the game not being developed in Japan. Because it's like there's actually
Malice?
A lot of... Like,
what about, like, you guys remember Malice?
No.
No?
And
no,
did that get good reviews?
I don't know if there's a Japanese developer connection. Because, oh, that's true. It also got bad reviews. So you're right. We can scratch that.
There's Dino Crisis 3.
I really wanted to get this one. I don't think we're going to get it. Did you ask a multiplayer question?
No, we didn't actually do that.
Is this game like well known and remembered for its multiplayer?
Well,
is that like a notable? Is it a notable part of the game?
Yes, there is a notable multiplayer part of the game.
What?
Okay.
Well, it's got to be a sports game.
So, okay, if multiplayer. I mean, I know it could be before Xbox Live, but if you go, like, the original Ghost Recon, but again, I don't think there's a Japanese connection there at all.
Yeah, agreed. And that also eliminates, Mech Assault. Mech Assault's pretty good.
Whoa, Mech Assault, do you play as a human?
But that Microsoft published that, and Ubisoft we already ruled out. I'm trying to think of some of the other.
How do we rule out Ubisoft?
I had asked. Did Ubisoft publish this game?
Oh, okay.
And it was no.
There was and then that eliminates again. I don't understand the connection with Japan, but like it's not Jade Empire. It's not any of those. You know, the fact that it has a prominent multiplayer.
Right. Right.
Oh.
You don't think it's Jade Empire?
No multiplayer. No.
That you know of.
That'd
be boring multiplayer. What about like
I think Microsoft published Jade Empire. They didn't publish KOTOR. Mm.
Were there any little puzzle games that you had head to heads in? Like Zuma?
That you played as a person?
What about I might have it.
Nope. One of my favorite cult classics, Breakdown, but I believe I believe that was developed. It was Namco, but I think that was, I mean, it's a Japanese game. I think it was developed in Japan.
You want to talk about cult classics? Also, what about Phantom Dust?
Yeah. But Microsoft published that, as I recall.
Are you sure?
Just deep cuts here. We're not getting any answers.
Dude, yeah. So I wish it would have been Breakdown, but that's a first person game.
How sure? I mean, I trust you. You know Xbox better than me. But like, I feel like Phantom Dust is ticking like every single box, except if Microsoft published it. It can't be that.
Not 100% confident that Microsoft published that game. But
what's Phantom Dust?
It's so cool, dude. It's like this third person dueling game. It's like an action game, but your actions are cards that like you draw from a deck, and then it's like if you have a fireball or whatever you have at your disposal.
Microsoft published that.
And then it came back. They brought it back. They did the HD port.
Well, then it can't be it.
Yeah, I.
Well, but it didn't get a sequel.
Oh, HD remake.
But it's. I think Microsoft probably did publish it.
I think they did, but I mean, that's. You're so close. I feel like.
Does this game feature cards in some way? It's like card based gameplay. Yeah, was this it?
You have a question. You have one question and a guess.
Oh, God. Whoa. Okay. Hold on. I mean, maybe unless we have a better guess.
No, go for it. Go for it.
Yes.
Is it Phantom Dust?
Yes.
Ah! Nice job, Justin.
Amazing. Dust. That was amazing.
Developed by Microsoft Studios, but published by Majesco.
What the fuck? That's so weird.
You know what it was? Is the remake, not the remaster, but remember they were going to do a proper new one? That canceled. Threw me off because that was announced, like, that was going to be a Microsoft thing.
Did that ever happen? Did that get canceled? Did that remake, like, they demoed it at E3 and stuff. Is it still coming or did it come out?
The remake is canceled.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
That was during like the real painful Xbox One years when like Microsoft Game Studios kept stepping on rake after rake and couldn't get anything right.
The character design is so goofy.
This footage is not doing the game justice, I have to say.
So you said it's like a duel game?
Yeah, it's like it's a little bit hard to describe. It's basically like two characters running around fighting each other, casting spells and attacking each other. But your attacks and the moves that you have at your disposal, you go into battle with like a deck of cards. Like you build a deck of cards and then you draw them at random, and that's what you have at your disposal.
So this was a play by Microsoft to gain traction in Japan. So they brought in the director of Panzer Dragoon to design and produce the game.
Oh, cool. Well, that's a heck of a submission by whichever listener.
Yeah, who picked this game? Who picked this game?
Alex from Coos Bay, Oregon. It says it's one of his favorite games.
Unbelievable pick.
Yeah. Well, I knew Justin was aware of it and was a fan, and I assumed Brian was.
It's a little bit embarrassing. Like, I actually really like Phantom Dust and played it a lot. I have a real soft spot for it, so I should have got there sooner, but whatever. I'll take it.
We made it.
But I imagine Microsoft must not have been super confident that it would hit in the West, so they let Majesco publish it here.
That's so bizarre that they had a game console and then let someone else bring out one of their own games.
Yes, in the West, yeah.
Wow.
Well, nicely job, everyone. Thank you for the suggestion, Alex. Viewers, listeners, if you have your own suggestions for Video Game 20 questions, email them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. And that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Ryan, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you to both Sam and Justin. Thank you to Jobert, working behind the scenes to make this episode possible. Nice. My name is Damon, and this is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
That was knocking futz.
Is it not always a pleasure when Sam and I are on the show? Just Ryan?
It is, but you guys know.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.